This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Carolyn Crump. Carolyn is in Houston, Texas, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today's date is January 27th, 2009. It is now 9:07 in the morning, and Carolyn, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. Please
tell me so much.
Oh, you're welcome so much. Please tell me about your quilt, From Vision to Victory.
My quilt was designed for the people that touched my life growing up. So as I moved from Detroit to Atlanta to Houston, the people that I have in the quilts are the people that reached me. As I was growing up and I could see that the civil rights movement, just the people that touched my life on television or when I watched them in a march. So that's why I use the 40-something plus people that I know about. I know it's thousands of people that touched people's lives or made a difference in the movement, but these are people that I know about.
So how did you go about constructing the quilt?
First of all, it was supposed to be that you could work any size you wanted. And as I started, about a week later, they called us and told us it had to be, couldn't be any larger than 36 inches. So it really, I had to restart my process, but I still want to keep some of the heads larger than the other ones since I couldn't put everybody large and stay within the 36 inches. So I wanted it to look like a sculpture and that President Obama was sitting on this statue and just looking into space, thinking about all the people that had paved the way for him in stone. And so that's why I asked, this is my first quilt that I have ever painted on before. The person up front, President Obama, he was totally applique process. But the stone part of the quilt, I wanted to look like it was chiseled. So I went with a process of painting on the fabric and then quilting the painting from the fabric. But the sky and the grass was totally applicated and quilted. But the stone part of it and the White House behind them, that was painted. And I thought it would be easier that way because of the people. Some of the people was no larger than an inch tall, the little sculpture. And it actually was even harder to, because it was so tiny, and to make it look like people. And it took longer for me to try to chisel in stone, to make it look like it was chiseled in stone for the fabric and paint, and then to go back into it and quilt. So I used the applique process on some of the quilt, and I used a paint and quilted on the other part of the quilt, the people that's in stone.
Was it hand or machine applique?
It was machine applique, and then it was put together by hand. When I quilt, every part of the quilt is like a little quilt. Each one of those people on the quilt, the small little quilt, then I applicated by hand together. But each part is a standalone quilt, then put together at the end. So you have hundreds of little pieces that make one big quilt. The Obama character, the legs are separate, the arms are separate, the head, the flag, the little sheets of paper, and the hand, everything was separate and then put back together to make it look more of a 3D effect.
So what size were you originally going to make the quilt?
It probably would have been about 60 inches across or more, and probably 60 inches in height. It probably would have been, because I wanted something really long, so it probably would have been, to be honest, about 120 inches, because the three heads at the top, the six heads at the top, that's the size every head would have been. And, you know, it was almost 40 different people on the quilt. And then I wanted the bus jumping out the quilt for Rosa Parks, which I couldn't do it small, so I just put her in the quilt. And like with the Buffalo Soldier, I put the horse in with him, but I actually wanted the Buffalo Soldier, the horse to be coming out of it, 3D. I wanted the Tuskegee Airmen. I wanted the plane to be coming out. I just wanted to really be a 3D quilt. And larger, I could have made it like that, but then trying to keep the 36 with the 36, it was almost impossible to do it in the time span we had to make the quilt.
You plan to make it again and make it larger?
Yes, I am. I've already started, you know, the quilt, and because I had already sketched out everybody, you know, the heads and the bust part of each little sculpture, I had already sketched it out. And so since I have the sketches already, I said, you know, I might as well, you know, go ahead and produce the larger quilt, because it would be totally different than this one, you know.
So what are your plans for this quilt?
It's something I really want to pass down to my girls. I started a collection of quilts, and I wanted to do this large one and to keep it in for my girls. I have three daughters, and I wanted them to have a part of history. So I'm actually going to break it up in three parts. The middle part of the quilt would be like the quilt at the museum, but it would be all the large heads, but it would be with the White House. That would be the middle, and then to the right and to the left would be, you know, the background, the sky, and just the tops of the heads, and then the bottom of the sculpture, and rocks and the grass. But I wanted to do it in three parts, and I'll give each one of my daughters a part of the quilt.
If someone looked at this quilt, would they say, oh, yes, Carolyn Crump made this? Is this typical of your style?
Yes, the background of this quilt and the part with President Obama is my style. But this is the first time, like I said, that I've ever painted on a quilt. And if a painter or a collector that collects my paintings, they would know it's my quilt. But a lot of quilters, they didn't realize that I started out as an artist. I'm an illustrator by trade, and I started painting when I was 8 years old. So, I mean, it depends. If you collected my art, you wouldn't miss that. This could have been my quilt, but most quilters that, you know, or people that collect quilts, they wouldn't have known. They would kind of figured out that, or I went into a combination or, you know, collaborated with another artist. That another artist probably did the painting part, and I probably did the fabric part of it.
You plan to paint on quilts some more?
Yes, because I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the process. I just started another technique that it combines my painting, my applicating that I applicate on top of the sheer fabric and under the sheer fabric at the same time, that it makes like smooth transitions, and it's just something that fell in place, and I was like, man, this really looks nice and make a great quilt. So, I mean, I was really excited about that it's something new. And to be honest, I want to teach people that technique and how to use it, because it's kind of different than anything that I've ever seen before and I have ever tried before. And it, like I said, it was just something that just happened.
Tell me more about the exhibit.
The exhibit, it was so beautiful. The day that I arrived, I had a chance to see the different quilts, and there were so many people, you know, in the exhibit, and they were just like an eyeball to quilts. I think quilters are just from the heart. I've been around painters and I've been around quilters, and I think quilters, they quilt from the heart. And I could tell from this exhibit, it was people quilting from the heart. They just poured out their feelings and what they felt, you know, in the moment and for the president and history. It was just a touching. People was coming up to you and thanking you for giving them the chance to see your quilt, and that was the first time that anybody had ever said anything like that to me. And it just touched my heart. But I think that show was one of the first shows that I could really feel people, they quoted from their heart, and they wanted people to see their work, and was hoping that the president one day get a chance to see their quote. But I think it was just a hard-touching exhibit. I think, you know, it showed the movement of the struggle for years that you know, we had a chance. And what I liked about this exhibit, it was people of all races, you know, had a chance to quilt in that exhibit or show their quilt. And I thought that was fascinating also.
Do you have any favorites?
I like Linda Gray's quilt. I like Dr. Mesloni's quilt. Dr. Seabrook quilt. I mean, I like all the quilts, to be honest. Even some people I can't even. I think Andrea and Cruz. I loved her quilt. I mean, I loved all the quilts, to be honest. It's even the ones from Hawaii. And I'm a lover of art. I love all art. It doesn't matter to me who makes it. If it's abstract or if it's realistic, it's figurative. I just love art. I mean, I've always loved art. From, like I said, from the age of 8, it's just something. And I was actually kind of scared to try quilting. I'm a fifth generation of quilters, and, you know, when you come from a long line of people that this is what they're doing, they're great at it, you don't want to jump in and be the only one that can't do it the right way or the correct way. So I finally tried it. It was tried it during the Hurricane Rita when it came to Houston, and that was the first time I ever quilted. And they said the power was going to go out, and I just started quilting. And when it was over, I had finished the quilt. So I mean, it was something that I was afraid about what was going on in the time, but I just wanted to try it. But in this exhibit, I felt that people quilt, you could feel it in your heart and being around it. They were quilted from their heart. It was everybody's quilt. I mean, I just loved everybody's work.
What does your family think of your quilt making?
They're very proud of me. I have a very supportive family. My first paint set was purchased from my oldest sister. I mean, my mother, everybody, they travel to see the different exhibits. They just really, they are impressed. I mean, they love what I'm doing. And my friends and family, everybody's just excited about what's going on in my life. I mean, it's happening really fast. I don't believe it myself. Sometimes I'm wondering if I'm dreaming about getting a chance to exhibit in the different museums and the different shows. But everybody's proud of me, and I truly know I'm blessed.
How do you balance your time? You talked about being a painter and a quilt maker.
I just started quilting full-time, or started doing my art full-time, and I just have to because my family is very important to me. So, I mean, I do my art in the morning, and I have to divide my weeks up. I will quilt 3 days, and I'll paint 2 days. And when my girls come home from school, then I spend time with them. And after they get situated, then I'll start back quilting at night or painting. But I'm a graphic designer. I do a lot of marketing for artists to help market their work. And I usually do that at night or on the weekends if I have any free time. But it is really difficult trying to do both of them because I have one clientele that likes painting and one clientele that likes the quilting. So I have to divide my time, but I usually do divide it. Either I try to do 3 days of one, 3 days of the other, or 3 days of the quilting and 2 days of painting.
So what are your favorite techniques and materials in quilt making?
My favorite technique is the applicating. I'm in the process of learning how to do traditional quilting. I get kind of bored of doing things, you know, from cut and block and traditional, but I have to show people that I can do it, you know. If the applicating it sounds really easy for me, but I love doing it. I love using the batik fabrics. I like to hand paint my own fabrics now. I like doing a lot of bleach discharge. I like using any, I love fabric and I love paper. And it doesn't matter what kind of fabric it is, because if it's something I don't like, I'll go into it and I'll paint it. I use a lot of markers on the clean muslin, ivory muslin, and I'll paint with the markers, and then I'll take different solutions to make it disperse. And I'll go back and fill with the black marker, and I love doing my fabrics like that also. It gives it a very unique look.
Describe your studio.
My studio is in the garage, so it's a large studio. I have a table that goes all the way around that I, because I block print, I quill, I sculpt, and I sew. So I have two different studios. I have my smaller one upstairs, and that's where I sew upstairs. So when I'm block printing and all the other stuff that get kind of dirty, I do that in the garage. I have racks of fabric that's in little plastic bales that I roll up the fabric and I put it in there. So I my color, so I can see the different combinations of color, and then I put my batiks in one little bale, a plastic pail. I have an area for my thread, an area that I put different techniques that I have tried on a cork board so I can see my samples, and it keeps me motivated and give me ideas when I see things around me.
Do you belong to any art or cook groups?
I don't. I'm about to join some now. I've just taken off from work in the last 2 weeks, and I pretty much was working a full-time job, trying to raise my daughters and do my art on the side, and it all became just too much to try to join a group, a guild, and add something else to my plate. But now that I'm doing it full-time, you know, it's the guild with Dr. Mizulumi, that's the one I plan on joining. And then there's several other guilds that I want to join, because I want to join a fiber guild. I like just putting my hands in different pots and to make it work for me.
Are you concerned about doing this full-time? Are you confident?
Yes, I am. I never been one to worry about a lot of things. I put money up for a rainy day. I've always been the type that I'll just jump in and do something. It kind of worries me at first because I have a daughter in college, she's 21, and I have two daughters in high school, one's in 11th grade and one in the 10th grade. But I just realized if I don't start now, you know, the way the economy is going, would I be able to send them, the other two to college? You know, what would happen to us staying on the job? I mean, I was in the newspaper field. You know what's happening to newspaper with the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it won't be long before that is, you know, gone. And I realized that with everything going and the cutbacks on the job, and it was just time for me to, you know, just start it. I don't mind taking a chance in life. You know, I'm very confident in myself, and I just have a lot of faith. And I really thought it was time that, you know, for me to start doing it full-time. I used to do it full-time before I moved to Houston. I was in Atlanta, and I made a decent living, and we did well. And when I moved here, I took a job. I said, you know what, I don't want to start over trying to find new clients. So I just started working again. And I've been on the job for 17 years, and it was just time for me to go on. I mean, I have built up clients with my graphic design that that's how I'll pay my bills until, you know, my quilts and my art get to the point that it can, you know, pay the bills. But I pay my bills through doing my my freelance artwork.
Good for you. I don't remember a president inspiring so much art, at least not in my lifetime. Why do you think Barack Obama inspired so many people to create art?
I think that the artists that I've spoken with, and I know with myself, this is the best way, you know, just like a photographer, take pictures to remember history or to record history, or a writer might write to record history. You know, artists, we draw, we quilt, or we paint to record our history. And I think so many people was touched behind this because this is the first time that a president or any leader had brought people together as a whole. You know, he inspired, you know, people to say, you know, stop the hatred, you know, we all really one, and you have to love each other. And I think that listening to him and even seeing him and him and his wife, how they treat each other, it just touched your heart. I mean, he made people that paint about romance or quilt about romance, they started drawing pictures of him and his wife and, you know, and hugging and kissing or whatever. But he touched people hard. You know, it makes you, and you know, I think we paint from our heart. We write from our heart, or we take pictures from our heart. I think it's what's in our heart that makes us do what we do. And that's what touched me and made me want to do a series on him, because he touched me as a person, as an individual, to make me want to be a better person. I don't know too many people that listened to his speeches or came in contact with him didn't want to be a better person just because they knew him or touched his hand or listened to his speech. It made you want to be a better person. It made you want to leave a part of history dead. I mean, the quilt that I designed, that's a part of me, and when I'm dead and gone, that quilt going to be here. And that's a part of me that I left, you know, behind, saying, you know, this man has touched my life. I really think because he touched people from the heart, made us want to be better people, you know.
How many quilts do you have planned?
Actually, I have 44 quilts planned. And it's a series that I want to leave behind, and depicting, you know, his journey from childhood to the presidential part. And the only difference, I started at the end, the presidential part, but I'm actually going to go backwards, you know, to his life. And I guess something I want to leave, that one day I can do a big show with the 44 different quilts showing his life and, you know, what it meant to America.
Tell me about your creative process.
When I started quilt, I actually started from a sketch, and I might do 10 or 20 different sketches, or the way I see his face or a person's face, or I love doing figures. And I'll start with a sketch, and then I'll do a pen and ink drawing of it, because then I'll break down the different shades of a face and the different fabrics I have to use for, like, if the person is a medium brown person, I have to find four different shades of fabric that'll meet the color, the person's shades and the color of that person, the range. And even with the clothes, I'll find four different shades of red, if it's a red top, four different shades for each color. And then I'll actually go into it, and I use a Einberg fuse it, that when I cut out and I iron each color together, then I'll just start in the middle of the quilt, and I like to make each piece a separate quilt. So when I put it together, I don't have to worry about. I like the 3D look. I like for things to look like it's jumping off the page. And some parts, it'll be a total quilt, so I have the hand reaching off the quilt, or have the fish jumping out of the quilt. It don't have to be flat because it's actually a quilted piece, so I could leave a little tip on the quilt, or I could leave, you know, the whole. I could attach the whole part of each, you know, image. But after I quilt everything, then I work on a big foam board, and I'll pin it together, and then I'll stitch little pieces together at a time till the small quilt become one big quilt. And then I'll go on the tender on the back, and I'll cut a big piece of felt, and I'll trim out all the cutouts, and I'll sew that, or I'll just, as I'm attaching it, attach it. If it's a flat square, I'll attach it to another piece of fabric so you can't see all the different quilts and how I put it together.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
Pretty much, I study Michelangelo because I like the 3D look of his work. I study mostly paintings and sculptures, and I don't really study any artist per se because I actually have a photographic memory on things. And if I study somebody's work, I don't want to one day be drawing something not remembering who work it was. So I don't study any artist's work. I'll study, like, the old masters and how they painted and to make things work for them. But as far as just studying Quilty's work, I really don't study people's work because it gets, like I say, I'll remember techniques from years ago and I don't know how to put it together, so I really don't try to study anybody else's work other than, like, the old masters, Dali and, like, say, Michelangelo and different painters. I'll study their work before I'll study, you know, a quilter's work.
Do any of your daughters do art or quilt making?
I have 3 daughters, and one likes to draw fashion. She's very good at it. And I have my oldest daughter. She's a painter. And we had a show together. And her first show, she sold like 7 originals. And now my youngest daughter is starting to draw. She likes to pencil sketch. So I guess it's in the family.
How wonderful. What advice would you offer someone starting out?
I tell people to follow their heart. And if it's something that you love to do, as in paint, you know, practice and study, get books. If you take classes, take classes. You know, I tell people to kind of to put up still lifes and draw, because I don't really like studying other people, because I do know if you study somebody, you will start to imitate their style. You know, I really just don't think that's the best way to learn how to draw. Because if you draw on your own, and I think everybody could draw. I just think drawing is a learned process. I don't think it's something that people say we're born with it, but I think it's a learned process. I've taught so many people to draw. I mean, I taught my daughters to draw, and my oldest daughter would be a better painter than I am. She really can paint really well. I just think it's a learned process. I don't think that... I don't think that people can't draw. I just think everybody can, but I do tell everybody to practice. If you could practice 2 or 3 hours a day just to sketch, and I think drawing, you could do anything if you learn how to draw first. I think painting is easier to do, but I think if you draw, you could learn how to quilt, you could learn how to paint, you could learn how to sculpt. I really think the technique isn't just the key is learning how to draw. You know, if you draw first, I think the sky is the limit. If you really get books and just learn all the different techniques and what pencils would make what shades, I think it'll make a world of difference in an artist's life.
So why is quilt making important to you?
quilt making is important to me because it's something that was passed down to me. I mean, my great-great-great-great-grandmother, she quilted, and they passed their quilt down, and it was something that when I quilt, I think about my grandparents, and I think about my mother, and how they quilted to keep themselves warm, and they used to tell me that the quilt was so heavy that when they would turn the wooden stove off, they didn't even realize it was off because that quilt was so heavy that you thought you were landing under some bricks. And when I quilt, I think about the stories that my grandparents, you know, told us and my mother told us about how after they finished their homework, they would get in front of the fireplace and quilt. And when I quilt, I think about them. It brings about happy memories of my life. And just one day, my children will be telling their children stories about me and how I used to quilt. And, you know, that's just something that will be left. I don't think that when they talk about painting, they'll be the same thing about when they talk about me as a quilter. I think it would be more inspiring to my grandkids one day.
What is your first quilt memory?
My first quilt memory, you talking about of mine or my grandparents?
Of yours. What is your first memory of a quilt?
My first memory is when I was, like I said, with the hurricane came, Rita was coming through Houston.
No, I want to know when you first encountered a quilt. What is your first memory of a quilt?
Oh, it was on my grandmother's quilt. And my grandmother was sick, and we went to Arkansas, and the quilt was laying on the bed, and my oldest sister was telling us the story that she remembered when the summer she would move, when she would go to Arkansas, and they would put the quilt on top of her to go to sleep, and how heavy it was. She couldn't stand heat, and she hated to be under the quilt, and she would kick the quilt off, and my grandmother would come back and put it back on top of her. And when I looked at that quilt and I saw the old clothes that they used to make that quilt and how precise the blocks was and how the points made the diamond, and when I would look at the quilt, I would think about the stars and the sky and the hands that made the quilt. And, you know, my grandparents' hands were so rough from picking cotton. But when I would see the delicate quilt, I didn't understand. You know, I said, you have rough hands making something so delicate. So I remember the old clothes, and my mother would tell us, you know, she remembered that pair, that little dress that she could run down the street in, taking the bus for school, because my granddad, he drove the school bus, and she had to be out there in front of the street one time. She came to pick him up, or she would be in trouble, and she would tell us about the little hole right there. You could see the little hole because she fell when she was playing and wrestling with my aunt. So that's the first. I mean, I probably was about 5 when I remember that story about the quilt.
How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as a person that loved the art, a person that tried to help as many people as she could, and a person who tried to do what was best for not only myself and my family, but what was best for the world, and to leave something, a part of me behind, and say, man, she really contributed to the world of art.
Why do you feel the need to make traditional quilts?
Because I get a lot of people saying that because I'm a painter, my quilts, you know, look decent, but can I traditional quilt? And I actually can, but it's something I taught myself, and it's correct, but I want to know how to do it the way the big-time quilt makers quilt, because what my next quilt after I finish with this series, I'm actually going to do a traditional quilt blended into an art quilt. And after that, I probably more than likely start to do some kind of traditional quilting into every quilt, because I don't want to be known as a person that I just, I'm an artist, so my quilts look decent because I'm an artist. I want people to say my quilts look decent because my technique is good, my fabric and the threads, everything works together well. The stitch count of the sewing machine, even when I want a hand applique, I want people to look at it and say, man, her technique is good. Not as something because I'm a painter and I can make my art look, my quilts look good because I'm a painter and I use the same technique from painting, but I just changed it from thread to fabric, you know, and I get a lot of people saying things like that. Oh, she's a painter, so she's just making it look good from because she has years in training of painting, but that's not the case, you know. I've worked hard to learn how to make my quilts look like it's a picture or a painting of a person. So I just want people to know that my technique is could be just as good as my design or my paint-like technique, what they call it, thread painting. I want them to know that, hey, my traditional quilt making is just as good and on the same level.
What do you think makes a quilt artistically powerful?
To be honest, when I look at a quilt, I look at what I feel when I look at it, you know, if I get something out of it. It don't have to be, I mean, the color has to be vibrant. Even if it's a totally cream-colored quilt, you still have to see something in it, you know. Something got to be powerful in it. The thread has to be powerful in it. The design. I think that to really, really get the oomph out of a quilt, or it has to be color or design or technique, or, you know, it has to be one of those things involved in it to make it a strong quilt. It, even if it's an abstract quilt, you know, the color has to be there or the design. Something has to be in that quilt to make it powerful. I mean, I'm a realistic artist, and so that's why I like to do figurative things. But I have started doing abstracts more because I have a daughter that loves abstracts. So I'm doing abstract quilts to do some, you know, just to do them to leave for her. But I just think it has to be something in that quilt. It has to be, like I said, the color or the technique or the design. You have to have one element of those three in a quilt to make it stand out.
Is there anything else you'd like to share before we conclude?
Well, I just think that quilt making is such a powerful entity of the arts, and I didn't realize this until the last 5 or 6 years, that quilt making, when you quilt, you can leave, you can put more detail or hide more intimacy in a quilt than I think in painting. I mean, because you could use the fabric, you could use the painting, the thread, the buttons, the little trinkets. I just think that one day when we look back on the quilts and even this year of quilters and quilt makers and the Obama quilts, when we look back on them and we see the different parts and what the different artists thought of him and how he touched America and how we used our art to show how he touched us. I think that the people that even see the show, the 44 quilts of Obama, I don't think their life would ever be the same, just seeing the different quilts and the different quilt makers and even the people that had a chance to meet the different artists. You know, I think life is just wonderful right about now. I think that I am proud, and this is probably the first time in my life I can say I really felt like a true American, and that's why I want to show, the flag and the quilt, and I just think it's just a good time right now in life.
Well, I think this is a great way to conclude, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to share with me, and we are going to conclude our interview at 9:48.